I've fished her icy rivers with every kind of fly. Shot straight at the partridge, though most refused to die.
This is Association Impact on the Michigan Business Network. I'm Peter Spatafor, filling in for Cheryl Ronk today. We're talking with Velma Hart and Aaron Wallowick on diversity inclusion in the workplace. We had a pretty lively discussion in our last segment about the DELP program through ASAE, but I'd like to talk a little bit more about why it's important to an organization to have diversity inclusion as part of its strategic plan and how that affects staffing, volunteers, your events, and even the culture of the organization. Aaron, I think you had a little bit to say on this topic.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, in particular, we're thinking about diversity inclusion both from sort of the unique perspective of the individual and the value that it brings to the individual. But I think that even more so, when you begin to aggregate that difference or that new perspective, when you shine a light on that new perspective, it's almost like putting it in a prism. And those lights kind of flash out in an infinite number of directions. And I feel like the same is true when we sort of shine a spotlight. When we shine a single spotlight on diversity and inclusion within an organization, the effects can almost ripple out in an infinite number of ways, much like that prism. And so I think that, you know, where I'd like to start is just say, certainly it needs to be a considered factor within strategic planning that, you know, as we think about the products, the services, the deliverables of our organization, we always need to be thinking about what is the intersection of diversity and inclusion with those various programs, products, and services? And if it's not currently a considered factor, that it certainly needs to become one. Because I think that in much the same way as we bring intention even to marketing efforts, to revenue-generating efforts, you know, that level of intention has a profound impact on the outcomes, the outputs that we're able to have within our organization on our various programs, products, and services. And certainly, diversity and inclusion is no different. So let me maybe start there most broadly, and I know Velma will want to chime in here as well.
Yeah, I feel that organizations ultimately have a mandate. And that is to bring the broadest representation, inclusion of ideas, thoughts, concepts, beliefs into discussions regarding business strategy that they can. That, by default, is our responsibility as good leaders within organizations. Diversity is a major component of that, but not in the classic way we think about it. I want to go back to the point we made earlier about diversity of thought and just elevate the point that Aaron just made about intentionality. If we are intentional in our outreach and selection of data and evaluation of data, I think we bring a richness to discussions that affect our business strategy, unlike no other. On the issue of diversity, I, as a past chair of several diversity committees, actually, had always had a dream that if we did diversity right, we would work ourselves out of business. It would become so second nature to the business agenda that people would do it unconsciously. That's how I see the ultimate goal of diversity within the Business Central, that we intentionally go after as much and broad information and perspectives that it just enriches the outcome, and we represent all almost by accident because we are so intentional in our outreach to leverage the broadest data possible. So, you know, I see it as the one-to-one relationship of differences. I get that, but to me its potential impact on the success of business is so much broader. So that's kind of my take on it, and I'm just adding to what Aaron said. I believe so.
Well, Velma, you raise a good point about intentionality in organizations, the utilization of diversity and inclusion. I hear a lot of times people ask, well, how do you do diversity? And it's just not something you do. But do you think most organizations are intentional about their utilization of diversity and inclusion towards their success?
I think so. I think that oftentimes the unintended consequences is that they look at it very myopically. They look at it as one dimension, one characteristic. For example, I'll bring the student population in and somehow my discussion will become more diverse. It's not that one-dimensional. And so I challenge the organizations that I work with to think about it not from the things that are conscious, not from the things that they see, But what is it? What is the goal they want to achieve? And informing that goal requires division of selection of information and resources that are far and away beyond the obvious. So I always challenge the organizations to look beyond what they know to what they want to be. You know, I know it's a childish exercise to say, what do you want to do when you grow up? But in business, sometimes that fundamental approach will get you the outcome you need.
That's a great point. Aaron, do you have any examples of organizations that are successfully utilizing diversity and inclusion? I'm just going to warn you, we got about 30 seconds left.
Yeah, well, thanks, Peter. I think of one. I'm actually sitting in an association right now, Outdoor Recreation and Education Association, who is intentionally pushing the envelope when it comes to not only diversifying their speaker base and their exhibitor and sponsor base, but also their attendee base as well. And perhaps in the next segment, we can talk a little bit more about that.
Great. Well, that sounds like a good time to remind you that you're listening to the Association Impact on the Michigan Business Network, and I'm Peter Spatafor, filling in for our good friend Cheryl Ronk today.
Closest thing to heaven that I could ever find. Her Great Lakes and her rivers are flowing sweet as wine, and an old empty beer can buy a man a dime.